Welcome, friends, to the Soul Talk podcast, a show where we explore and uncover the path to the heart, amplifying your conscience. Join me as we meet incredible souls who are in this journey and learn from their experience and different methods that will make you vibrate your heart. Let's get into it. Hello, everyone. This is Monica Ramirez, the Warrior of Love, and thank you for being in Soul Talk. And today we have one of my friends that I have the pleasure to take a class with him. And he's doing such an important work for the world. And it's not only for males or females, because actually the world needs more men like him. His name is André Lam. And André, really, thank you. Thank you for being here, and thank you for doing this kind of work that is so important.
I receive your acknowledgement, Monica. I am feeling grateful and excited to be in this space with you, just for the opportunity to get to share the work that I get to do. Yeah.
Yes. Let me tell you, everybody, a little bit about what André is facilitating for all of us. Not necessarily for females, but when I say all of us, I'm talking about globally. And because it is important, it has to be a balance between the yin and the yang, the shadow and the light, the males and the females. It has to be a balance in the world. And something that I came to, let me just tell you, I was just jumping in. Let me just, so juicy conversation that I already have it in my head. So let me tell you a little bit about André. André is a coaching facilitator for men in the way of the they communicate. He teaches classes and he do also coaching one-on-one, because you go to any of the spiritual groups, you're always going to find females. But you're not going to find, maybe you're lucky, you're going to find one male that is doing the inner work. And that's why I mentioned that it is so, so important, the job that he's doing, because it is necessary that the majority of the human beings, we start doing our inner work and start being conscious how we treat others at the same time. And that's, and a woman, I came to understand a while back, that a woman cannot teach a man how to become a man. There is that division and that separation. And please, André, tell us how you got where you are now.
Yeah, well, I love how you said that, because heaven on earth starts with each, everyone within themselves. And I always love to say, like, if every man or woman took responsibility for their thoughts, feelings, actions, and outcomes, we would have heaven on earth right here, right now. And that's why I'm excited to do this work. My purpose, which has uncovered in the last, say, years, but then I'd say my past 40 years led me to this point, is that I'm really here to raise the consciousness of humanity, to create that heaven on earth. And what led me here was really my own journey. And if I were to compact it, I was born and raised in Edmonton, Alberta. And I was just really in my head. I was disconnected from my family. I didn't have a really good relationship with my parents. We weren't connected on the same level. I was a firstborn son. I was raised in daycare by other people. And they had huge expectations for me, which I felt I never lived up to. So I lived what they told me. And they used a lot of negative reinforcement. There was a lot of verbal and physical abuse. And so I didn't feel like I was part of it. And there was a separation. And so I got lost. And so the lost meant drugs, alcohol, skipping school, starting in junior high, and just living in my head, building these protection programs of everything's okay. It's my looking good program, pushing people away, because I didn't feel like I trusted anyone, because I didn't trust my own family. Therefore, I didn't trust myself. When my brother and sister got into the picture, they were about 9 years and 10 years apart. And as they started to get older, I started to like really not want to impact my family negatively, like endanger their life. And so I didn't want to go down the path of dealing drugs. I was a drug dealer at some point, but then I didn't want to go further in than that. So I decided to get out of the drug dealing business and move more into, what should I do? And I just looked at, well, I love video games. I love surfing the internet. But then I didn't realize I did that because I was numbing myself. It was used more as a distraction. But hey, I went into computer programming just because I'm like, I'm interested in computers. And it was the hardest thing I've ever done. Though one of the times where I started to really apply myself and believe in myself and ask questions and be curious. And I passed, like I passed with honors. And I was like, what? But I still had a chip on my shoulder. I still was thinking that I was not worthy enough. And so I carry that same energy into the corporate world. I had a career in software development for 12 years. And with that chip on my shoulder, I wanted to prove that I was the smartest. So I took on responsibility. And that allowed me to climb up the ladder. But that meant working longer hours. That meant traveling. That meant sacrificing my essence for the company, right? And the vision. And I was so lost. And I didn't know that I didn't like programming, because I would numb myself through video games, partying, working for the weekend, going to watch movies. And I enjoy those activities, but I didn't do it in moderation. I always did it in extreme. I did it as ways to like, I'm tired. I gotta enjoy myself. I gotta go on vacation. So it was an outlet. And along the way, you know, I picked up bodybuilding, which I still keep. I love dancing, which I still do. And it was just this life that was being guided by the world, guided by what society told me should do, because I never thought about it. I just went with wherever life took me. I was kind of like a paper bag in the wind. And I was very unhappy with my job until I call it divine intervention, because I wasn't listening to it. I didn't have the courage to quit. It laid me off. So once I got laid off from my job, this is back in 2016, I could have gone back to software development. Like I could have went back into a career and went down the same track and had a comfortable lifestyle. But then I decided to go into sales. And sales was what changed my life, because I was always attracted to those people that had that charisma, had that natural confidence. Like they were talking to people, they connected. And I only felt that when I was traveling. I felt like myself. But when I was back home, it was like I was living under a program. I was living under this field of like caring what people thought of me, what my parents thought of me, what my friends thought. So I had to hold this image. And sales opened the world of personal development to me. The whole time, I was unaware of what my values were. I did no inner work whatsoever. I was just in my head, period. Numbing myself, all that stuff. But then when I got a glimpse of that, I never stopped. I just ate that all up. I, you know, came across teachers like Tony Robbins, Jim Rohn, John Maxwell, Simon Sinek. I just took that all in. And of course, the depth of personal development goes deep, because there's layers of it. And I always started, when I started, toxic positivity. I didn't know that, right? Be positive, bypass, force things, have a gratitude journal. Do this, do that to feel good. And, you know, the world for some time was great because I had positive energy, unicorns and rainbows. They got me to network quite a bit. That got me to begin to know myself and reflect myself. So that journey of just started with being laid off in 2016, allowed me to go deeper and deeper into the work, which led me to coaching and facilitation now. So along the journey, if I continued to do the work, and I call this work the project, the process. This is the project. And the deeper I went with personal development, the more spiritual it got. Because I started to question, what is life? What is consciousness? Why do I believe this? What's this? Awareness, right? And awareness begins to create curiosity. And the more I know, the more I don't know. So then I led that down to, okay, you know what? I love this work. And looking back, I was able to connect the dots that sales, reason why I did it was I love people. I love to get to know myself. Software development, I moved into management. I was working with people. I led offshore teams in India and Mexico, as well as in Edmonton. And I was with people. I wasn't coding, because that kind of drained my energy. So I'm like, it started to kind of make sense, because now I have data that I can connect those pieces together to confirm what I do resonate with. Because I wasn't fostered. I wasn't nurtured in a way that allowed me to discover myself. I had to go the long way. And there was a lot of shame that made me feel like I was a late boomer, that I was behind. And it was not until I was in my 30s that I started to do my work on myself. But now, you know, just like you said, like if I were to go to retreats or healing or meditation or yoga, like generally, there's more women than men, right? And that was the calling. When I started to do my work, I was wondering, where are the men doing this work? And that's where I decided to do men's work, lead a men's group for myself, to create a space to lead men from their head to the heart. And I always joke, it's the longest distance they have to travel, because I made that journey myself. I was living up here, and then I was able to connect down here. And it's still a work in progress. And it's always is, right? So I just want to be able to continue to do this work. I'm so grateful for it because I get paid to learn about myself. I get to be in a space of uncovering my own medicine, and that I just get to share with people that are along the same journey as well. So I'm just putting the reps in and wanting to create a safe space for men to also do that. And then meeting my partner along the way, I've always wanted a conscious co-creating relationship. And during those times where I was numbing myself, I looked outwards. I was chasing it. But not until I started to work on myself and raise my own frequency and vibration and being clear on what I wanted, it attracted her into my field. Same thing, right? And now we're consciously co-creating, teaching conscious communication, because not until we start reading each other's minds, we got to communicate, right? Conflict communication is key for us to really stay in harmony. And within the community, what really destroys it is a lack of conflict resolution skills. And it goes back down to communication. So if I can help empower men to go within and take ownership, and it goes back to the overarching vision of if every man and woman took responsibility, and in teaching the framework to communicate within the four walls, within the family unit, not looking to the government, not looking to the boss or whoever, powers outside of me. But what if I led myself through my own example by doing my work? As you mentioned, the inner work. So providing more spaces so that this is natural. Just like there's a gym where everybody goes to work out their bodies, I wanted to make it natural for men and women to go and work on their emotional bodies, their mental bodies, and their spiritual bodies. And this is where I see the world going to. Like it's amazing to see how people are now looking for this stuff. You know, like people aren't weirded out by meditation anymore. No, people aren't resistant towards receiving therapy. Right? People aren't closed-minded to thinking about and asking about past lives or plant medicine. And it's just, I see the world evolving, the consciousness rising, and actually causing people to now do the work, because now they're feeling it physically in their body, emotionally, mentally. It's more highly charged now than ever before, is what I'm noticing. Yes. Yeah.
And one of the things that I wanted to mention, there's a big difference worldwide, how the men, because they have the gender roles, how the men should act and how the women should act and so forth. And their cultures that is more marked than other ones. I come from a Mexican family, and all Latin America, from Central America to South America, it is very different than North America, right, than United States and Canada, in customs. And I bet you know that in many other cultures, they're even worse. We're talking about in other societies, put it like that, that is even worse, the gender roles, how they should act, each one. But that is what is being more damaging for the world. Because women are waking up and trying to do the inner work. But then we encounter that we see as a patriarch society, that it is suppressing and controlling and asphyxiating. And unfortunately, not many men are doing that inner work. And I always say, mothers, we create men. We give birth men. But at the same time, we're creating the same thing because the programming is still there in the society. They go to schools, they have grandparents, they have et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's continued the same cycles that is being, it have no work in the past, it's not working in the present. And if we continue like that, it's not going to work in the future.
And I see that, like, we're at the very beginning, the women have been doing the work, and they're also our biggest supporters for this work. They're referring their brothers or uncles or sons or their husbands to this work. An organization called Sacred Sons, we call it the Gondor of men's work right now, because they're just putting themselves out there. They're shining bright and just exposing that type of work to the masses. Most of the men that go there is because their wife referred them to that. Most of the followers of Sacred Sons are women, right? And so there is a need that women are recognizing and encouraging men to do this work. And it could be in the form of divorces. It could be in a form of, no, boundary setting, right? I'm no longer tolerating this. And this is causing men to look at themselves or even resist or even complain. And there is a men's movement called MGTOW that says men that go their own way. And I don't resonate with that, because they believe that it's us versus them and we rather take care of our own. And that's one part of it, but I feel like it's separation. It's driven by toxicity. It's driven by woundedness, the wounded boy of what would happen in case, like, for a man that got divorced and saying that the woman took everything, the court system is wrong. It's still in that victimhood, right? Rather than looking at, okay, how did that play in the part of this? What part of this can I take ownership? Where was she right? Or even same sex, where was he right, right? In this. Taking ownership so that I can do my inner work rather than, no, it's all about you. Or I got to be this particular way because of how the 1940s, 50s, 60s, how my grandparents and father was, of what a man should be, right? And so this is happening right now. There's a lot of frustration that's happening that is actually helping men to now go down the path of, like, brotherhood to get that medicine, right? To, like, really tap into those emotions that have been suppressed right away. But it requires that safety, doesn't it? And when a culture, let's say my household, is, it doesn't make me feel safe to express my emotions, I'm not going to do it, especially at work either. I'm not going to endanger my job. I don't want to get fired for expressing my truth. And so when we have these safe spaces outside of that, I can begin to do that work, gain the path of natural confidence, which is getting to know myself, and then out in the real world, become a lot more rooted and influence the people around me without having to, like my partner says, fight, force, or fix, because that is internalized patriarchy, which is wanting to control. And we always work with the archetypes in men's work is it's the shadow aspect of the warrior. It's the shadow aspect of the king, right? I love the analogy that there's four archetypes: lover energy, magician energy, king energy, and warrior energy. Okay. Warrior energy is about taking action in the real world. It's about protection. It's about holding things in reverence, Mother Earth, the feminine, or fighting corruption, destroying that. King energy is about order. It's receiving divine law, whether that be God, creator, universe, and being a vessel and creating fertility for the kingdom and blessing the kingdom. The magician energy is like the alchemist. It's about, like, transmuting, transforming, doing the inner work, experimenting. And the lover energy is about the passion. But each of these archetypes has a shadow side if we're not too careful. And so the space I want to create is to help men connect from their head to the heart, because it starts there first. Men can be led from here, or their second head down below, or from here. And why we got to lead from here first is that the warrior without a heart is a masochist.
Yes.
The magician without the heart is a sorcerer, and the king without a heart is a tyrant. So for men to really embody those archetypes, they have to leave to the lover first, because the lover brings compassion. The lover brings empathy. The lover brings connection. Then lead, bring in the warrior, bring in the magician, bring in the king. And so men's work helps men identify these archetypes within themselves so that they can connect and relate to while they do this work, right? And it goes back to modeling, having a model, right? Seeing a man lead from the heart and still being strong. What does that look like? I don't know. I learned from my parents. My parents learned from their parents, right? Culturally, the cultural norms. And so I see this as evolving, where there's no like fixed way to be like a man, like that. This is what a man means, this box. Because it's very limiting. Rather, it's a form of energy. I look at it as a masculine energy and a feminine energy that both men and women have. Mm-hmm. I am in a masculine physical body, which may seem like I have more masculine preferences, right? Like for me, like, yeah, there's more testosterone perhaps, and I prefer more masculine approaches. But it's the idea of recognizing that energy and doing that dance with the feminine energy, rather than having a fixed way of being. So it's about me knowing when to be in the experience of expression, which is the feminine, to express it fully. And when can I be in the masculine of being the container and the witness to the experience? And I wasn't taught this, but it's the nuances of beingness. Can I be open, connected, compassion? Can I be strong, confident, and convicted? These are words that have a certain energetic signature to it that may fall within the masculine feminine preference, but they're always working in conjunction with each other. It's never one or the other. They're always working together in a way for us to express ourselves fully in this physical experience. Yeah.
Wow. It is so true about the archetypes, because even in females, we have our own archetypes too. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about the Enneagram, that each one of us have our own personality. It will be so easy to understand, okay, that personality of the pessimism and the controlling and so forth. And it is a personality that not necessarily a man or a female have, but it marks whatever decisions and choices they do through that archetype. Mm-hmm. And there is a lot of the programming that I observe in males. It is about the controlling and wanted to be the protector. But that's where it comes, the asphyxiating part at the same time for the females. Because if they're not completely conscious and what they're doing, even if you express it like that, hey, let me breathe. Let me make my own choices. At the same time, they don't feel men enough if they're not controlling.
Mm.
And they feel like a woman is dominating over him. That's why I mentioned that it is very hard for a woman to help a man to become a man, because that division, that how a woman is going to tell him that. And vice versa, it works also the same way. If a man is, you should be doing this and this and this, like, oh, he's trying to control me. So it goes down. So it is that division that is still there in this moment. That's why I prefer men, work with men, because men that are like you, working with yourself and understanding all these concepts, it is easier to a man, will open up more easy to a man. The same applies for women. How do you have conscious communication, and this is one of the things that you teach. How a female and a male can communicate consciously without trying to feel that one is controlling the other one.
It's a recognition of the work that I do with positive intelligence, is the awareness of the saboteurs. And we, you know, the saboteurs are these parts within us. It's the controller, it's the people pleaser, it's the stickler, right? And they're personality types. We can call them programs, paradigms. We can call them survival parts. And it's first creating the awareness of their existence. Because most of the time, the issue is that I say most of my life, I was thinking and acting unconsciously. And so these saboteur programs that were developed during childhood are running me. They're driving the vehicle. And I'm not even in the car. I'm in the trunk, locked away. And I may not be aware of that. So it requires bringing some awareness to that so I can no longer be blended with it. I call it, don't be a smoothie, be a fruit salad. So that I can observe these parts of me of like, oh, what are they doing? And there is an assessment called the saboteur assessment. It takes about 5 minutes to complete. And this helps map out, based on my particular behaviors, my top saboteurs. And right away, it creates an awareness that, oh my, I can see myself. It creates a separation, but not something where I get rid of it, because I can never get rid of these parts, but it allows me to see it now. And so that I can observe myself, because no matter if I learn how to communicate, whether that be through non-binary communication, which is what we teach, if I don't say it from a place of what I call my sage, or when I'm grounded, when I'm at peace, then it's not going to come out correctly. Because the cadence, the intonation, the energy that's imbued with while I say it will cause your saboteurs to flare up as well. Because the saboteurs within each other, they feel each other. And we know how that starts to spiral down and down and down. So when I sense there's tension in the room, I can feel it. Oh, heaviness. I feel tight around my chest. I'm noticing somatically in my body. The first thing is to do a grounding exercise. Breath work is the best one. Just connect with the breath. The breath is the easiest to bring my awareness to my breath. And just breathing, moving myself from that fight or flight mode, right, to that calm mode. That's the biggest piece. Because if I'm on fight or flight, no matter what I do, what I say, it's going to cause more, unless the other person is able to co-regulate me and hold space for me to calm myself down. Because generally, what happens is that, like, the brain early on in the relationship is on drugs, serotonin, dopamine. It's wired, right, to procreate. So it's a honeymoon. But once that's over, our brain naturally is geared towards survival. We look for what's wrong by default, our mind, our brain. And so we start looking at our partners, like, of what's wrong and so forth, right? And I do believe in a greater purpose, that relationships are assignments for spiritual growth, for healing and growth. Though I can get trapped in that survival mechanism. And that's why it's so important, going back to identifying the saboteurs, because they are the survivor programs. Are they running, or is it my higher self, my essence, that is observing and running the show? So we got to start there first. We got to start with regulating the nervous system first. Then we can look at communicating.
And the ego sometimes is the one running the show.
Mm.
Not only, I wish it was the higher self running the show, but no, the majority of the time it is the ego running the show. And that comes with all the programming. And in other words, to say that.
Yeah.
And also the expectations are the ones that are so damaging.
Mm.
Because we expect someone to do something. And it doesn't matter if it's, we're different genders or we're the same gender. I expect my mother to do this and this and this. Or they expect me to get married, have kids, and follow the program. And I'm following for that same program. That I have to, even if I don't want to have kids, even if I don't want to get married, I have many clients that ask me the same thing. But that also happens to men. You have to be the protector. You have to be the provider. You have to, don't cry. Don't be emotional. Don't show your emotions. And that's where the conflicts are, because there are so many expectations the one and the other are making to each other, that when they get together and they're not having those expectations met, that's when everything doesn't go right.
Makes a lot of sense, Monica. Totally. One of the biggest saboteurs is the judge. And when you set expectations, it's the presence of judgment and the unspoken word, right? Of assuming and not communicating, because we assume that they're going to be this particular way, and that's why I married them, or vice versa.
Yes.
Yeah. And the judgment that comes out when what I expect them to do, which I never communicated, is not coming to fruition, and it creates that conflict, right? So conflict is just like a misalignment of each other's needs. And it could be so complicated, right? Because the people are like, yeah, that makes sense. Like, okay, judgment, but how do I not judge, right? And the ego is ever present. Judgment is ever present. It's a survival program. Like, judgment has its place. If I meet a stranger, immediately I'm judging whether he's safe or not.
Yes.
Right? It's got to be there. And then where it feels safe, then maybe it can shift into discernment of like not putting these programs on to this person. And so how do we get down to the bowl of it? Because I love how you mentioned expectations, saboteurs, above that, is that if we go straight down to what I'm feeling and what I'm needing. And this is where nonviolent communication comes in and provides a simple model for communicating. Is this, when I get to express my feeling, this allows space for my partner, for my friend, whoever, to connect with me empathically. They get to, you know, I'm feeling this way. And the feeling is an energetic signature of letting me know whether I'm in alignment of my needs or not. It's a GPS. The issue is that men, let's say, don't have a vocabulary of feelings. And it's people in general don't. Good, I'm fine, I'm okay. And once we have a vocabulary, we can kind of pinpoint the energetic signature of like, oh, I'm feeling irritated, annoyed, I'm tired, I'm feeling discouraged. Like, putting that in, it's like, wow, okay. And now going to needs is like building a vocabulary of what my needs are. And what we say needs are, and this is from Marshall Rosenberg, is that needs refer to the life-serving energy within you. That's it. And life-serving energy is really your connection to God, to Creator, to your life force. It's what makes you most alive. And we have been taught what our needs are. We've been trained to say that I don't have needs. Men are generally, I got to be strong, I don't have needs. And same with women. No, I got to take care of other people's needs.
I remember something that I thought a while back, because I keep to understand myself. I was trying to be love and feel love and so forth. When someone asked me like, oh, but you don't like chocolates and you don't like flowers. Like, no, of course not. I don't like that. No, that romanticism is for Hollywood movies. You know, it's not for me, of course. But that's what I want. I wanted. But I was so afraid that if I actually express what I really wanted and needed, I was not going to be accepted or loved. So I hid it until it became a big problem in the relationship, because I wanted that I did not express because of fear. And when I finally expressed it, it became a bomb that it was going to explode, of course, in my face, because I did not honor me, what I really needed or wanted. And that it is so, so common in the majority of their relationships, or the females that are looking for love, that sooner or later is going to explode in their face like it did to me. Because they did not honor themselves, what they really wanted. Every single female that I know Yes, they wanted a flower. They even cut from the garden, even if it's a tiny little one. It don't have to be a bouquet, or at least one chocolate that they bought in the store, and not necessarily a big box of chocolates. You know, it's like, but it is that attention every single female do, but many of them hide it because they are afraid that they're not gonna be loved. And then they feel cheated because they did not hear that part before they say yes, thinking that they don't have to please another person, that they're getting in together with another actual woman that is doesn't have any needs like them. They're afraid also to talk about their own needs. And that's where the problem of the majority of the conflicts are in the relationships. They're not totally honest about their needs, wants.
And when we can create a safe space to express our needs, we naturally will find joy in meeting it.
Yes. Because how do you please someone because you love them, because it is in your heart, that emotional state, it is wonderful because you're pleasing and you're making that someone smile. And that changes the whole dynamic of the relationship. But how do we work with the fears, Andre, of one dominating the other one? Because there's always that fear. Feel afraid of the women that are going to dominate them, and vice versa, too.
Yeah, I mean, it starts with like that person wanting to start doing their inner work and taking responsibility of their actions, you know, and there's got to be a willingness because, you know, if I go to a personal development seminar and it's speaking truth and I'm like hitting my partner, like you should listen to this.
Yes.
It's not going to happen because I'm demanding, right? I want them to change and I'm not willing to change myself. So it requires me to recognize that the only thing I can change is how I show up in the relationship. So there's got to be a point in time where I recognize that. And maybe I'm not able to hear from my partner because of the amount of resentment that's built or certain relationships like my parents, right? There's some things that haven't been cleaned up yet. Maybe it requires a man to tell me straight up of how I've been showing up. Some wake-up call. A wake-up call that happens, unfortunately, for most people, where they start to look at themselves and be like, maybe that's me. I'm the common denominator here, because wherever I go, that's what's been the same is me. If I keep attracting the same partner and the same thing happens, I start to see the pattern, right? So it first requires that awareness because if I say something and share it and they're like, no, I'm not the problem. We can't work with that. It's like leading a horse to water and like trying to like get it to drink. And so first it's like the realization that, okay, what can I do here? What can I take ownership on? Because if let's say as a man, let's say I'm fearful of my woman dominating over me. I first have to recognize that, right? Where am I going to get that awareness from? Right? Either from outside sources or something internally where I start seeing that, I'm like, yeah, there seems to be a reason why I want to be with a woman that are submissive and I want to overpower them. And there's a pattern of that and it's not working out. Interesting. Whenever I'm around a woman that's empowered, I feel uncomfortable. Why is that? Yeah. And so then that allows me to take a look at that. And when I start looking at that in a safe space, you know, with support, right? With someone like yourself or other people that have been doing this work, they can be guided into like, oh, this is why. And it becomes less of a shameful thing. It becomes an accepting thing that, oh, maybe I learned this from here and here and here. And you know, I then I can become or begin to work with it, right? And start healing that. So yeah, it just first starts with ownership. But then again, everybody has a different way of taking ownership for themselves.
And dealing with the fear at the same time, because you cannot suppress the fear forever. That's for any human being. You can hide a fear for a while, but it's gonna always be gonna be showing up and showing up until you actually confront it.
Like you're saying, like it keeps showing up, like the universe keeps throwing the same lessons, and sometimes it shows up in physical illnesses, right? Or a major life event. It's a whisper until it gets louder and louder to deal with, right? And for some of us, we may not deal it with it in this lifetime, and that's okay, you know. And I've done my work, and this, I wish my mom and dad are doing their work, but they've done their work in their generation, in their own way, right? And I get to appreciate them, and rather than, because that's what for me is my struggle right now, is the lack of depth, the lack of depth that I have with my mom and dad. And there's a Pandora's box, right, in a way of like why that is, right? And why I'm talking about this is that sometimes certain people may not evolve or transform, and that's okay, because they still have the same lessons to learn. It's their life, their journey, and they may have to come back and learn those lessons. So be it, right? So I first got to be in relationship with someone that is willing to do their work. It can be quite challenging when, if I meet my partner and we're high school sweethearts, very young. I didn't know myself when I was young.
Not
And
a
to begin, right? And to begin doing that work, right? It's like, wow, versus meeting someone, I've already done my work. They've done their work, and it becomes a bit more easier, right? Because we have a framework, we have a language we can speak with to start actually becoming mirrors for each other, for each other's growth.
Yes, that's what I was going with the question I wanted to ask you. Because at the same time, we don't stay static. We're always growing and expanding and learning. So the person that we're in this moment in this conversation is going to be very different when we have a conversation in 5 years or in 10 years. Because we change. Even if we have an archetype in this moment, in 10 years, it's going to be a different archetype that we're embodying. And it's a very different archetype that we are now, that we had about 10 years before. We're not the same. And if we cannot adapt in a relationship and growing together, you grow apart. Hi everyone, this is Monica Ramirez, the Warrior of Love. And if you have been feeling stuck where you are right now, or if you have felt that you cannot connect with others in the same language or the same emotions that you're feeling. If you're a coach, a healer, energy worker in any of those branches, maybe this is for you. Because we have felt the disconnection for the rest of our family, friends, that we cannot connect to them. And we're so afraid to actually go deep dive when we're getting triggered by our own clients, because we're seeing our mirror image with them. My name is Monica Ramirez, the Warrior of Love, and that's my spiritual name. And I take clients from feeling confused and feeling stuck to feeling free, to feeling that they feel empowered from themselves. I created a system, Path to the Heart, that goes in three levels. And the first level, it is healing the inner child, healing the parts of us that we've been so afraid or it's very painful to do it. I have done it myself, not only with me, and I have done it with many, many of my clients, that I take them to this process. The second level, it is to go more into inner self, clearing the family lineage, to breaking the contracts and vows, learning deeper, more about the laws of the universe. And the third level, it is learning how to channel, how to do waking up your and getting online your gifts, unique gifts that the world so much needs right now. So if you wanted to know more about this, I am eager to show you and to teach you all what I know that I use every day in my life. So thank you for being here in this page. I really appreciate it. And this is Monica Ramirez, the Warrior of Love. And I see that I've been married 4 times. I can tell you that. That or you grow together, you grow apart. And that's something that it is so common right now. And it is a need that to stay together and not need more divorces. My parents did not understand it after 57 years of being married until my father died. And there were couples that they should not even stay together. But they just stayed together for the social norms. Right. Not because they had a great relationship. The majority of our ancestors, they did not have a great relationship. They just stayed together because that was the social norm to follow.
Yeah, and it is a different time now, right? That we have the space and the resources and the technology to allow us to do this work.
Yes.
Because back then, like, it's a different time to forge, to survive, to put food on the table. But we're evolving, we're changing. And I love how you mentioned that I'm a different person if I'm doing my work, right? And if someone's changing, are they going like this, or are they still checking in with each other and growing together? And so I find it important to have spaces to have these type of conversations with my partner. Yeah. Yeah, to address the assumptions, to check in with each other, to, you know, check in, like, where are we going, our visions, our goals. If there's anything that, you know, where I haven't shown up, where I was insensitive, that I can take ownership on, can feedback, right? Feedback. Yeah. Because it boils down to that open communication. And the frameworks of feelings and needs with nonviolent communication helps with cleaning that. So if I don't have an open communication with you, Monica, and we leave it until the end of the month, it's going to be heavy. I might feel unsafe because there's a lot bubbling to the surface. But if I can continue, let's say we clean our houses, right? We sweep the floor, we clean the dishes, we don't pile it up, then it's much easier to approach it because there's less that's bubbling. And so if I can check in with myself, oh, I'm feeling annoyed. Why am I feeling annoyed? Well, because I have a need for connection, and I observe that you are on your phone. May I request that you put down your phone for the period where we're having dinner together so that we can connect? Something like that. Right. And just continue to checking in rather than me observing that and be like keeping inside. It's a charge. And be like, oh, it's fine. It's fine. Until the charge keeps building up, until something like the dishes, right? Or the garbage. Boom. But it's much more than that. There's a deeper underlying need that's not being met.
Andre, please tell us about your program that you're having, because I believe it will be very helpful for many people, even myself, to talk about this.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, tying it to the communication that we're talking about, Summer's my partner, we offer an 8-week connection through conscious communication class that uses the frameworks of positive intelligence. This is the identification of the saboteurs and Marshall Rosenberg's nonviolent communication. So we pair them together. And it's so powerful when they're together, because it provides the nervous system regulation and the practicality of building new neural pathways so that I can be more my sage. And then it takes the communication model when I am in my sage to communicate it. Summer also has her inside out process that she puts on top of these two models to allow us to tune in to what's in alive with us, right? So the power of the class is that it's experiential. The power of the class is that we get to do the work together. We get to formulate the communication. We get to practice it in real life, and we get to receive the feedback. That's where the learning happens. It's not just through theory, conscious. It's through the embodiment of it. And it requires me to go to the gym and work out, right? I can't learn swimming by watching a YouTube video. I gotta swim. So our class is experiential that way. And it's also powerful because we do it in groups of 10. So we get to witness each other in this work. It feels safe. It becomes a group nervous system because we feel seen and heard and accepted. And so we can practice this in a safe space. And I also see when you share, I'm learning from that too. It's from that true life experience. So we have a course, our upcoming class is January 16th, right? We have four classes, four times out of a year. We also have a link to it. So it has the dates, it has all the information. And that's the 8-week communication course that we start with for conscious communication. And to tie it back to the beginning, I also facilitate a weekly virtual gathering, a men's work through the group Alchemists of the Round Table. This is where we do deep transformational work. There's archetype themes, right? We mentioned about the anagrams and archetypes. One month we do the lover energy. One month we do the warrior energy. One month we do the king energy, and we cycle through it. And we do shadow work. We do edge work. We do breath work. It's very deep work. And we have 16 men in the group right now doing the work together in a 6-month to 1-year container. Though for men that want to just touch the work, just to check out what's it about, I always recommend to connect with me on Facebook. Even with the conscious communication, connect with me on Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn. That's where you start seeing the work, seeing the resonance. Is this something that I resonate with? Because it's not until you get exposure to it and this makes sense. I resonate with what you're saying, that leads me to maybe potentially take the next step. So you can find me at my name, Andre Lam. Search me on Instagram, and that's the best place. And that's where I'll constantly be sharing that information about the classes that we do.
And under this video is going to be your information of Andre. So anyone wants to take any of the classes, I'm going to be posting the links in there so like that you can get a hold of them.
Fantastic. I appreciate that.
This is so important. Thank you so much. I really appreciate the work that you and Summer are doing, and mainly you, because there are many female coaches and healers and so forth, but there are not too many men doing the work for men. And thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you for all our viewers. And if this helped you, please give us a like and share it with your friends, because, hey, everybody needs this kind of work. We need to start doing our work. If we want to have a different world, we need to start doing our own work.
Yes. It never stops either. And let's embrace it.
The universe continues expanding. Why we don't.
Exactly. Thank you. Peace and love.